From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins a series of studies on the Lord's Prayer, messages designed to help God's people to learn how to pray according to God's Word. The first message is entitled, Prayers That God Will Answer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Mourner Comforted. The text is Matthew 5 and verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. By the valley of weeping we come to Zion. One would have thought mourning and being blessed were in opposition, but the infinitely wise Savior puts them together in this beatitude. What He has joined together, let no man put asunder. Mourning for sin, our own sins, and the sins of others, is the Lord's seal set upon His faithful ones. When the Spirit of grace is poured upon the house of David, or any other house, they shall mourn. By holy mourning we receive the best of our blessings, even as the rarest commodities come to us by water. Not only shall the mourner be blessed at some future day, but Christ pronounces him blessed even now. The Holy Spirit will surely comfort those hearts which mourn for sin. They shall be comforted by the application of the blood of Jesus and by the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost. They shall be comforted as to the abounding sin of their city and of their age, by the assurance that God will glorify Himself, however much men may rebel against Him. They shall be comforted with the expectation that they shall be wholly freed from sin before long, and shall soon be taken up to dwell forever in the glorious presence of their Lord.
When the mist of time is gone, when the choir of heaven gathers to begin redemption's song, I will bow before my Savior in a body new and whole. Then I'll rise to sing His praises while eternal ages roll. I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price is paid. My debt is gone. The chains that bound me no longer hold. Because of Calvary, I stand redeemed. As I gaze upon my Savior and the wounds He bore for me, I will sing of His salvation.
but with blood upon the tree. While the host of angels listen to a song they cannot sing, I will voice my praise to Jesus with the song of the redeemed. Of the redeemed, I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price is paid, my debt is gone, the chains that bound me no longer hold me. Because of Calvary, I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price is paid. My debt is gone, the chains that bound me no longer hold me. Because of Calvary, I stand.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a series dealing with the very heart of the Christian life, the matter of prayer. In the course of these broadcasts, Dr. Cairns will examine the nature of true prayer, providing scriptural answers to such questions as, does God answer all prayer? Can Christians be guilty of the wrong kind of praying? And what are the hallmarks of prayer that gets through to God? Basing his remarks on Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Dr. Cairns begins this important series with a message entitled, Prayers That God Will Answer. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read together the verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. When ye pray. Christians pray, but so do heathen, and so do hypocrites. Now, obviously, hypocritical or heathen praying is not good and acceptable praying in the sight of God. It's not true prayer at all. True prayer is the prerogative of Christians. But it's very possible for a Christian to pray like a hypocrite or like a heathen. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ issued this solemn warning and these solemn instructions to his disciples. A Christian can sink to the level of a hypocrite or a heathen when it comes to prayer. Now think of that. For in that fact, I think you'll discover some very important things about prayer. As I've indicated, not all prayer is good and pleasing to God. Even time spent in prayer is not necessarily time well spent. More time spent in meaningless or offensive prayer only makes that praying more meaningless and more offensive. You will discover also that the thing that is most likely to hinder us in true prayer is our sin, our own sin. The illustrations which the Lord Jesus Christ uses in this passage of Scripture clearly prove that. And chief among our sins is our pride, our desire to be admired by others, even for our praying. There's very few things in this world more destructive to praying than that. Our sin, then, is so insidious that it can poison the holiest exercise that a Christian may engage in, and it may follow us right into the holiest of all. Now, in the light of all that, obviously what we need is to learn the art of true prayer. We need to learn to pray in a way that pleases God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with here in Matthew chapter 6 in a very simple and in a very straightforward way. And he's teaching us many, many things, but fundamentally, he's showing us that prayer addresses our Heavenly Father in the faith that he knows what we need, and he answers the honest, humble petitions of his children. Now, I want us today to consider this and to try to learn what the Savior's teaching us on the vital subject of prayers that God answers. I don't think that there are many things in this life that are more intimately and immediately of concern to Christians than the subject of praying so that God will answer. I believe that once we learn what the Bible teaches on that, and once that is applied to our hearts, many of the other things that appear to be problems of great magnitude will fall into place. This is fundamental to everything a Christian believes in, everything a Christian feels, and ultimately everything a Christian does. Now, as we consider it, we find that the Lord Jesus does three things. First of all, he warns us what to avoid in prayer. Then he goes further and shows us how to succeed in prayer. And finally, he assures us that we will be heard if we pray as he instructs. Now let's take the first thing first. The Lord Jesus Christ warns us what to avoid in prayer. And the warnings are two. First of all, he warns us to avoid praying like hypocrites. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Now, you will remember, I have said this on many occasions, the word hypocrite is a word taken from the Greek drama. It described an actor. Really, fundamentally, a hypocrite is an actor. He's a person who is putting on an act. He's a person who is putting on a front. In the Greek drama, the hypocrite was the one who put a mask over his face with the obvious intention of representing a character other than himself. And so this is taken into the New Testament, and it's used in a spiritual way. We are told not to pray like hypocrites, people who are putting a mask over our faces to appear in some other character than that which we really are. Because true prayer, if it is to be anything, must above all things, first and foremost, be real. You remember what said of Elijah, that he prayed earnestly. Literally, he prayed in his prayer. I think that's one of the most telling phrases in Scripture on the whole subject of prayer. When Elijah went to the place of prayer, what did he do? He prayed in his prayer. He did not put a mask on. He did not go through some meaningless mumbo-jumbo. When he got to the place of prayer, he prayed in his prayer. He really prayed. That's the meaning. That's something that no hypocrite has ever done or can ever do. It's impossible. You may as well talk about blazing fire being cold as talk about a hypocrite praying real prayer, praying in his prayer. And that for various reasons. Hypocrisy, according to this passage, is always marked by flesh. Whatever else motivates a hypocrite to pray, and like everybody else, he may pray when he's in fear, or in need, or in trouble, or in a certain situation where he may think it's expected. But whatever else motivates a hypocrite to pray, flesh is always to the fore. You see, hypocrites pay too much attention to man. They want men to know that they pray. It's not enough that they pray. They must have men know that they pray and have men think that they are great men of prayer. They glory in the reputation of saintliness more than in saintliness itself. They have devotions, but they draw attention to their devotions. They publicize their religious exercises. That is flesh. The Lord Jesus is clearly condemning it. Now, we do need to be careful here. What the Lord is condemning is not all public prayer. That would be to make a mockery of Scripture. The Lord Jesus called His house, which is the place of public worship, He called it a house of prayer. That, by the way, is a very telling thing. Because if there's one thing you can say about most churches today, it is they may be a house of preaching, they may be a house of partying, they may be a house of entertainment, they may be a house of many things, but the last thing you could honestly say about most churches nowadays is that they're houses of prayer. But Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Furthermore, He Himself prayed in the sight of others. Not only that, but it's clear that He commanded and commended the early church's united prayer meetings where people prayed publicly. He has, through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, left throughout the Scriptures for us a record of the public prayers of great men of God whom He Himself inspired to pray and whose prayers He mightily blessed. When we come into the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul told the churches of his praying and of his prayers for them. He spoke of his burden in prayer. In Colossians 2:1, he talks of it as a conflict. In Romans 15:30, he talks of it as striving. And in Romans 9:2, he talks about the great heaviness and the continual sorrow in his heart, which was certainly his burden in prayer. This is not what the Lord is warning against. There is a legitimate form of public prayer. There is a necessary and an unavoidable communication of burden and of passion, of interest, when we are among people who pray. That's not what the Lord Jesus is condemning. But what He condemns is all self-promotion in prayer. And I have to be honest and say to you that that strictly applied to our hearts is a scary thought. And I believe, I think rightly, I would hope wrongly, I believe that that one thing that the Savior teaches here will wipe out most of what passes for public praying. The Lord Jesus is condemning all self-promotion in prayer. He's condemning the courting of human opinion in prayer. He's condemning praying that is so much aware of what people are around about us and what those people may think. He's condemning praying to make an effect upon the people around about us. That is what hypocrites do. I was interested to read the testimony of the late Martin Lloyd-Jones on this very thing. One of the most difficult tasks any preacher has to do is the task of leading the congregation in public prayer. In many ways, it is much more difficult than the task of preaching. In many ways, it is much more holy. And in many ways, it is much more important. And I say that as one who believes in the old Protestant position that preaching is the central act of worship in public worship. But it can't be done without prayer. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I do want again publicly to lament, and I trust that it will be a matter not of condemnation merely, but of burden in the hearts of the people of God, to lament the demise in Protestant worship, at least in most evangelical and fundamental churches, and in most of the Reformed churches ever I have visited, the demise of real public pastoral prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.